Parshas Shalach. The pasuk starts off by Yedaber Hashem Moshe Leimor. Hashem spoke to Moshe. Shalach lecho anoshim. Hey, send for you people. For Yosuru Eseroth Kenan, they should spy, look over Eretz Yisrael. Asher ani noisim levnei Yisrael that I'm about to give to Klal Yisrael. Ishechod, ishechod lamate avoisov. One person from each shevet tishlochu should be sent. Kol nosi b'hem. Like each one is a nosi, is a prince amongst them. And the first Rashi starts off that shlach lecho anoshim. Rashi asks, lomo nismecho parshas meraglim, the parshas Miriam. How come now it talks about the spying right after the parsha of Miriam, the end of Paloischa, spoke about that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara on Moshe and she received a punishment, she became a mitzaras. So why did it say right now the parsha of Meraglim? So Rashi said, "Lefi shelok so aliske diba, she dibra biyachia," because Miriam got punished because she spoke Lashon Hara about her brother. He did tonight with Lashon Hara about her brother. They didn't take Musar. This is the Medrash Tanhuma. In other words, they were Rishoyim that they did the Avera, they spoke Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. And they did not learn from Miriam that for speaking Lashon Hara you get punished. It's an Avera. They didn't learn. They also spoke Lashon Hara, spoke bad about Eretz Yisrael. Now really, what Rashi's question is, why does it say now the Pashas of Meraglim? Because really, these three Pashas now, so first it spoke about Miriam, now it speaks about the Pashas of Meraglim, and then the next Pasha talks about Korach, then you know what happened by Korach Vadosai. Now really from the Gemara and Tainus is Mashma, that come at the same time that Miriam spoke the Lashon Hara, right after that was the Machlokes between Korach Vadosai. And after the Machlokes of Korach, first happened the Mice of the Meraglim, that they sent the spies throughout Yisrael. So this is really Rashi's question, the Medrash Tanhuma. Like really, Pashas Korach should have come first, and then should have come a parsha shlach. So that's what the Medrash is asking. How come the Torah puts down the inyan of Meraglim right after the parshas of Miriam, where really it should have been later after the parshas of Korach? So that's the Medrash Tanhuma's answer to teach us that they did not learn, these Rishonim did not learn from what happened to Miriam. That she spoke Lashon Hara, and there was an Avera, she got punished for it, and they did not learn from this, they also went to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And then really we'll see later on in the next parashas that there's a mitzvah to remember what happened to Miriam like every single day. What's the mitzvah to remember what happened to Miriam? Like, what's so nice about speaking out that Miriam did an avera, she spoke Lashon Hara, and she got punished? Like, it's a genai, it's something not nice to Miriam. So why does the Torah later say there's a mitzvah to remember it? And the reason is that the reason why Miriam, the Torah speaks about it, is to teach us to learn out from it not to do Lashon Hara. To learn out that the fact that she spoke Lashon Hara, she got punished, so we see it's something bad and something to learn not to do it. So the mitzvah of Zechira, to remember what happened to Miriam, is like a mitzvah to Elis for Miriam. It's like a kapara for Miriam. The fact we're going to learn out from Miriam not to speak Lashon Hara, that's going to be a schus for her, that's going to be a kapara for Miriam. And that's the pshat why the Torah right now put this parashas of Meraglim to teach us, like they did not learn out from the parsha of Miriam not to speak Lashon Hara, but instead they still went and spoke Lashon Hara. Now really the Gemara in Erchin on the Avtez Vav and Aleph, it says at the end of the Mishnah, it speaks about how bad Lashon Hara is, and it says, Shaloi nechtam gzar din al abaseinu b'midbor ela al Lashon Hara. That the reason why Klal Yisrael had the gzar din to die out in the Midbor, to stay 40 years, and not to go straight into Eretz Yisrael, was because of the aver of Lashon Hara. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Vayenasu oisi ze esapomim, v'loishamu b'kemi." Now, really, the question on this Medrash Tanhuma is, like, how should we learn out from Miriam of these Nesiyim, the Meraglim, not to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? Like Bishleim and Miriam, she spoke Lashon Hara about abroad, about Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a terrible thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is the God Lador. To speak Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a terrible thing. He's a person. Ma'ashenkin here, what they were speaking about was Eitzim De'avonim. They were talking about the land itself, the wood there, the people, they're talking about Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz De'ofer, the dirt, the land of Eretz Yisrael was not a good land. So to speak about Eitzim De'avonim, who said that's so bad? Maybe it's only a terrible thing to speak about a person, speak about a tzaddik, but to speak about Rishoyim, or about the land itself, who says it's such a bad thing? Like, how come the Meraglim, what was the Tfiyah, why should have they learned out the Chlal from Miriam? And the answer, what you have to say here, is that talking bad about Eretz Yisrael is not just on like talking about Eitzim De'avonim. Like, first of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that said, Eretz Yisrael is Toivri, it's a good land. So Klai Yisrael, when they went, the Meraglim now went to speak bad about it, it's kamat like they're speaking bad about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like they're saying differently from what Hashem said. Hashem said it's a good land, you'll be able to conquer it. And they went to say, no, it's too strong for us, we won't be able to conquer it. So it's kamat like they're saying Lashon Hara against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a terrible thing. That's for sure they should have learned out from Miriam. It's just like they saw by Miriam. You should not talk Lashon Hara about people. For sure, you should not talk Lashon Hara about something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was Meir told us that it's good. You shouldn't say against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, even though the Gemara in Erechin says that the Avera they did, the Meraglim, was that they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, that was the Avera, and that's where the Rambam also passed like this in Hilchas Deyas Halacha Vov, that because they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, still we have to know what caused them. And what was the Siba, what was the reason why they did this Avera of speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? Like the Pasuk says here, the Pasuk Gimel says, Vayishlach Oysa Moshe Mimid Baparon Api Hashem Kulam Anoshim. All of them were people. Roshe B'nai Yisrael Heima, the heads of B'nai Yisrael. And Rashi says, when the Pasuk says, Kulam Anoshim, Rashi says, Kol Anoshim Sheba Mikro Loshin Chashivus. Whenever it says the word Anoshim, it means they're very special people. At that time they were big tzaddikim. In other words, these 12 Nisiyim were very, very big tzaddikim. And the Ramban says, it says, each Nosi according to how chashiv he was. So the first one was Mate Ruvain, was Shamua ben Zakar. Then first Shofet ben Chori. Then first Kolev ben Yefuna. In other words, the first two Nisiyim were even greater than Kolev ben Yefuna. And Yoshua was first mentioned, the fifth one. Lamate Ephraim was Hosheya ben Nun. So it comes out all these Nisiyim were mamish chaverim tzaddikim, like Hosheya ben Nun and Kolev ben Yefuna. So how come all of them, if they were tzaddikim now, how come after 40 days spying Eretz Yisrael, when they came back, they had the chutzpah to do this avera to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? And we'll see later, not only did they speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, but they also mamish were like Kofer and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said that Kalpi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not strong enough to win the war for us. The mamish spoke against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could it be that in such a short time, of only 40 days, these big tzaddikim now came to do such a chet to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael and to speak bad about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamish to be a kofer on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How could it happen? What caused them to do this avera? And really, the Mesilas Yeshorim in Perek Yud Aleph explains this, and he says the Zohar HaKadosh explains the Parshas by Midbar that the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara because of their gaiva, they wanted to have covet. In other words, they were afraid that right now when the Midbar, they were the Nesiyim. They were the heads of Klal Yisrael. They were afraid that if Klal Yisrael would go into Eretz Yisrael, they would lose their covet. They would lose their respect. They would not be called Nesiyim anymore. Then maybe in Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu would appoint somebody else to be the Nesiyim. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, there'll be the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The whole Klal Yisrael will be lifted up, will be more Kedush. So maybe on a higher Madregum, they'll have to have other people, maybe more Chashuva people, to become the Nesiyim, to become the leaders. So because the Nesiyim were afraid that they would lose their covet, they wanted to have respect, they wanted to have covet, because of the need of covet, that's why they went to do this Avera, to speak Lashon Hara, as if to cause Klal Yisrael not to go into Eretz Yisrael, in order that they should not lose their covet. And this is really like the Mishnah Novi says, that HaKina V'Yakovet V'Yataiva is Moitzi Nesod Menelam. The fact that you have covet, you want to have your respect, you're afraid to lose some respect, you're afraid people won't respect you, if you're afraid of that, then Mamash could take you out of this world. In other words, even though these Nesiyim right now were Mamash Tzadikim Gemurim, but because they were afraid that they would lose their kovod. That's why they came to do this big aveira of speaking lashon hara and to speak bad about HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Who Adin will talk about later, the same thing by Parshas Korach. The machlokes there was also because of his kovod. He didn't want to lose his kovod. By Kol Porim, we have to learn out from these parshas, then you know what the Mishnah says, to stay away from kovod. Not to want to take respect, that people should respect you, that you're a great person. That's a stealer to the midah of Anova. That's a bad midah. And Adrava, but Moshe Rabbeinu was brought down that Moshe Onov Mikolodim. Moshe's midah was he was an Onov. That's the midah we have to go after, to be a humble person, but not to look after respect. When a person goes after kovod, himamish could be a tzadi gomer, and the kovod is called like a sam hamovis, it goes into you, and as soon as it gets a hold of you, you could lose your senses. Himamish should do a tremendous aver, like the Meraglim did here, that they came to say Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, and also against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the second Rashi says that the Pasuk says, Shlach Lecho, like send for you. So Rashi says, L'daitcho, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, it's up to your will. Like if you want to send, send. But Ani Eina Metzav Eloch, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, me myself, I'm not commanding you to send the Meraglim. It just means, Imtiratz Shlach, if you want Moshe Rabbeinu, you could send it. And the reason why, because in Pasha's Devarim it says, Klal Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu and complained, we want to send spies to Eretz Yisrael. Like the Pasuk says, V'tikrivu elai kulchem. Moshe nimlach b'shchina. So Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that he liked the idea, but he didn't send them until he first asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is the matil him, she teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, but I told Klal Yisrael already it's a good land. That Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I'm not commanding you to send the Meraglim. Just if you want to, you could send it. But the question is though, like, why did Moshe Rabbeinu was masking? Why did Moshe Taka send him? The Chorot's not there upon Moshe Rabbeinu. If Kodesh Baruch Hu was the one that told us that Eretz Yisrael is Toiva, it's a good land, everything is good there, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu mask him? Why did he give his consent? Let them send the Meraglim. And later on in the Pasha also we see that when he did send them, he asked them questions as if to say, Orisim Mesoros, look into the land. Mahi, what type of a land it is? V'yesom ha'yeshev aleh, ha'chosaku, ha'rofe, ha'matu, imrov. Like, check over the land, see if it's strong, if there's a lot, if not. O'moritz ha'shu yeshev la, toivi, imrov, ma'horim ha'shu yeshev aino, ma'chanim, im. The Mitzorim, Umarat Hashmeina, because Moshe Rabbeinu Mamish gave them ideas to think about, is it good or not good? So Chorot's a chet upon Moshe Rabbeinu. How could Moshe ask these questions? And how could Moshe Rabbeinu was masking agree to send them Raglim if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I'm telling you it's good, and that's why Hashem did not command them to do it, he didn't give a mitzvah to send them. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu by himself was masking to say, okay, you could send it, Chorot's a chet upon Moshe Rabbeinu? So there are two ways to learn here. The Ramban explains that really what Klal Yisrael came to ask was a normal effect, that they knew they have to go to fight Eretz Yisrael, to fight Eretz Canaan. And of course they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it was good and we would win the war, that they were not doubtful. They knew it was good. But just the Maisa, before you go to have a Mechama, you have to look out the ground to see which is a good way to go up to fight. Should we go this side of the land, that side of the land? But they wanted to really spy out the land before you have a mechama. And that you're allowed to do, even when Yeshua, before he went up to fight, he sent Meraglim. He sent to Meraglim to check out, to know exactly how to go to fight to win the mechama. So when they went to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, we wanted to go up to spy out the land to see how to fight, that Moshe Rabbeinu was masking. That's a good idea, like it's not a spirit to Hashem's Rotsim. Even though Hashem said it's Teva, but the Maisa, we have to know how to go up there and fight, which routes, how to do it. So that was all Moshe Rabbeinu's question that was asking the Meraglim now. When you go up, true, you want a spy to know how to fight. Look it all over. See which is a good land, which is a bad land, where it's strong, where it's not, where it's populated, where not. Not because we have doubts whether it's good and if we could win the war. Of course we could win it. Just we want to know, if you're derech hateva, which is the best way to go about to have the war. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was masking that they should go. Other Midrashim said that the Pshat was Klal Yisrael came to Moshe and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us Eretz Yisrael is great. There's a lot of riches there. In other words, the Goyim are going to hide all their riches someplace in Eretz Yisrael. And when we go there, we're supposed to find it. But Chai Yisrael was afraid maybe that the Goyim will hide it so good, we won't know where to find the riches. So therefore, we want to go up right now and spy out to see exactly where all this good is in Eretz Yisrael. Today, that when we get there, we'll be able to find it. So when Moshe heard that, Moshe thought they really mean to go Litzara Toiv, that they really want to go. They haven't asked to win the war. They know Hashem said it's good. They just want to find out where the riches are, so that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking to. And Moshe just asked them these questions like, be careful when you look out to see exactly where all the good is. But the pshat is, that's the way Moshe Rabbeinu thought. Because Moshe Rabbeinu right now is only able to see the way right now they were tzaddikim, they were kosher people. Hashem Kana Kodesh Baruch Hu, he was able to see the Yosid. He saw that these people are after 40 years going to turn into be Rishoyim because of the cover that they're going to want. They're going to want to keep their own respect. They're going to be Harahab Harata. Then they're going to be scared about going to Eretz Yisrael. They're going to come out to speak Dibara, speak Lashon Hara. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu was not really masking. He didn't give a commandment to send them because Kodesh Baruch Hu knew the Yosid. But I call upon him, he didn't stop Moshe Rabbeinu as if to say, like, Shlach Lecho, like you, Moshe, if you want to send them to where you see them right now in your eyes, they look like tzaddikim, I'm not going to stop you. You could go ahead and send them. But of course, Baruch Hu himself was able to see the Yosid, he didn't give a tzibur to send it. And that's really what the Pasuk Gimel says, that's Vayishlach Oysa Moshe Mimim Raporon Al Pi Hashem. It says Al Pi Hashem. It means by the mouth of Hashem, so Mashma Kodesh Baruch Hu did command him. So Rashi explains it means Rishusai, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu Rishusai, gave him permission to let them go. So therefore it's not considered a chet. Moshe didn't do anything wrong, because Moshe Rabbeinu asked Kodesh Baruch Hu. Just Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't command them to go, he just says if in your eyes it looks good, and in Moshe's eyes it did look good, because Moshe saw them right now as tzaddikim. And he heard these two reasons why they want to go, either to find the riches there, or else just to know the static, how to go to fight. So it looked good in Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes. So Kodesh Baruch was masking, Ustaka called up Hashem. Hashem gave them rishus to go. But not that he commanded them, because just that he gave them rishus. Then the Pasuk Chofet says that Moshe was telling them, the Meraglim, to check out Eretz Yisrael. They said, Allah, in Mo'oritz. What type of a land is it? Hashemen, is it fat? He imroz, or is it lean? Hayesh v'eit, is there any tree there? Emayin or not? V'hez chazartem ulekachtem priyot, you should be strong and take from its fruits. V'hayomim yimei b'kurein of them. At that time, it was the days when the grapes were growing. And Rashi brings down, what is the question? Emyesh v'eit emayin, is there a tree or not? Rashi says it means im yesh b'rem odem kosher sheyogin aleim b'chusrei. Go check and make sure there's no goyim there that are very choshev or kosher or tzadik there, like that he would protect Eretz Yisrael, that now the Yidden would not be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So even though literally the pasuk means kosher, check out is there wood there or not, but Rashi changes it from the pasuk shot and says no, it means a ruch nitzik shalom. That Moshe was telling them, make sure there's no tzaddik there in Eretz Yisrael living there now that will protect them, that the Yidden won't be able to take over. And the reason why Rashi doesn't say Poshib Shat here like usually, but he rather talks to into Ruch Nisik a thing that the Psukim are not talking about right now, because otherwise it's a kash, like what does the Poshib mean if there's wood or not? Like if he spoke about if it's a fat land, that means it gives off a lot of produce, so for sure there are Eitzim there. What is the Miloshin of eights? So therefore Rashi Darshan's mean that there's an Odin Kosher. The Gemara in Borobasa talks about this, that really the Odin Kosher was Eir. The question was Eir still alive? Because he was a tzaddik and he could have protected them. And that's what's brought down later when the Meraglim came into Eretz Yisrael, it said the whole door there. They were Oisik in the Levaya, burying somebody. They didn't have time to take care of the Meraglim, and it says that they were by the Levaya of Eir. Eir was nifter then. So it was true now, after Eir was Nifter, they didn't have the schus of the tzaddik to be making on them. But it's interesting, where the Torah calls like a tzaddik lashon of an eitz. a tree. Because the pshat is really a person when he's born, he's like Adama. Like min ha'adama, a person came out of the ground. The ground, there's a potential in the ground that you could put seeds there and it could grow. The ground makes things grow. If it doesn't grow, you're just wasting it. You're wasting the ground. That's the same way a person is. A person is here has the potential to grow to become a tzaddik. If he grows and becomes a tzaddik, he's like an ace. He uses up his potential, he's growing. If a person doesn't grow, in Lashon Chazal, they call like an amor, it's a bur. A bur means an empty land. Land, ground that you are not using. That's called bur, it's lazy, it's laying there wasting. That's not a person. A person has the kriyach, the power to grow, to become a tzaddik, to grow higher and higher and higher. And if not, he could just let himself waste away and remain a boor, an empty person. That's what here the Pasuk calls a tzaddik, by Lashon of an eight, means that he's a growing person, he's somebody that's staggering, becoming higher and higher. Then Pasuk Chavdezit says, Vayalu Banegev, they went up on the south side, Vayavoy at Chevron. They went up into Chevron, Bisham, Achimon, Shesha, Bisalmi, Lid, the Honak, there were giants, the Chevron, Sheva, Shem, Nidna, son of Meitzah, and Mitzroim. So Rashi explains how come they passed by Chevron. So Rashi says, really goes on, Kolev, Levade, Holach, Shem. It was only Kolev, he went to Chevron. Then Yeshtatach, Al Kivra Yavis. He like lied down on top of the Kivra Yavis of Avron, Yisrael, Yaakov, and he davened, he prayed to them, that they should be a siyata de shmai, they should help him. He should not be included with the bad thoughts of the Meraglim. He should also not decide to talk Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, but rather to be saved. The Kolev himself went to Davin by the Kivrei of the Yovis. Now the Pasuk before, when it spoke about Yeshua, Pasuk Terezayin, it said, the Eilu Shemois Vanoshim HaShasholach Moshe Lashon HaSoretz, that Moshe changed now Hoshea ben Nun's name and added the Yud at the beginning to call him Yehoshua. So Rashi says, what is the Pshat? Rashi says, his Palololov, that Moshe Rabbeinu Davin prayed for Yehoshua, that Ko Hashem Yeshiachor should help you Meyatzos Meraglim, from the bare thoughts of the Meraglim. And really there's a Yerushalmi that explains what happened to this Yud. Like how come Moshe had the right to add an extra Yud to Hoshea ben Nun's name and called him now Yeshua. So the Yerushalmi says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed Sarai's name into Sarah, that first it was Shin Resh Yud, and now Hashem took away the Yud and called her Sarah, so the Yud came complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, you took away me from a big tzaddikus? What are you doing with me? So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry. I'll eventually put you back to a tzaddik's name. And now by Sarai, you're at the end of the name. I'm going to put you back at the beginning of the name of the tzaddik. And that's this prospect that when Yikra Moshe Lohishaya Benun Yahushua, that Moshe took that yud that was taken away from Sarai's name and put it now onto Yahushua. In other words, to show that Kodesh Baruch was mastered manly every single ois of the Torah. Every little ois that's written in the Torah, there's a purpose, there's a chshivas. And if the name, if the ois Yud was taken away from Sarai, it means something. There's a complaint about it. Kodesh Baruch was the malitz chos sarin that added it now to Hoshea and called him now Yehoshua. To show how he has to be mastered upon every single ois of the Torah of the Chshivas, what it means, every single thing has a purpose, why it's there. The Akoponim, these were the two tzaddikim that were saved from the Yatzos Meraglim. They did not go along with the thoughts of the Meraglim. It was Yehoshua and Kolev. And for two different reasons. By Yehoshua, it was Moshe Rabbeinu that davened for them. And by Kolev, it was he himself went to the Kivrei Yovis, went to the Morsa Machpel and davened for himself that the Ovis should be Mefayayam to help him. And the Chofetz Chaim talks about it, how come really Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Spalal to call it right away. But if I say Pashid, they knew that these two were tzaddikim. So why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu daven for Kolit? Or why didn't Yeshua go to the Kivri Yavis to the Mespalo Bavi Yavis? How come Yeshua went to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe was Mespalo for Yeshua. And how come the Kolit of Ben Yifun there, he had his protection from the Kivri Yavis? The Nechofas Chaim wants to explain that there were two different drachim here in Avodas Hashem. Like the Moshul here, these two tzaddikim had to go these 40 days now and live with the Meraglim like Rishoyim. Now when a tzaddik lives amongst Rishoyim, let's say for a few weeks, there are two ways you could act. One way you could be meichah them, argue with them right away and say as you disagree with them, I don't know what you're doing, you're doing wrong, and this is the way you should do it. The other way you could do is, right now be quiet, like agree with them, make believe you agree with them, be quiet, and at the end of the weeks, when you finally come to the big issue in front of a lot of people, then these Rishayim think that you were their friends all along. Now when it comes out in front of the whole people, now you come and tell them that their shit is wrong, and listen to me, this is the right way. Maybe now they'll listen to you. And the Rebbe of Chofetz Chaim explains both ways around this, and both ways have mildness and chesroinus. So the kid says, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu Sura, that Yeshua's kareich was, he was like the fighter. That was his mitzvah. And he knew that he's going to go to with these Meraglim now these 40 days, whenever they think to do anything there, right away Yeshua is going to talk back to them, tell them, no, you're doing wrong, this is the way you should do it the right way. And you know what happens to them? It's a big sakana, because the Rishonim could come and kill you right then. They could come and beat you up and be nice to you. So what should Yeshua have to have a bracha, but he should like stay alive, the Meraglim shouldn't hurt him, shouldn't do any harm to him. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was responsible for Yeshua. That the Atas would show him that the Meraglim should not affect him, should not do any harm to him. Moshe came cold, did it the other way. Kolod was quiet all along. He acted as if he was friendly with them, as if he was giving in to them. Whatever they wanted, he didn't argue with them. He waited them to labor. When they came back in front of the whole club of Israel, then Kolod thought that these Meraglim will think, I'm his friend, and later they'll listen to him when I tell them they're doing wrong. And that's what happened later. Taka Kolod told them to be quiet, and first Kolod thought to talk about Moshe, and they thought they were going to talk about the death of Moshe, but then Kolod started to talk to good, and that's the way Kolod had his effect upon the Meraglim. So if you act nice, the Meraglim said back to Anoshe Mishalolui Moy Omru, Loinu Cholalos, no, you can't go out up there and fight. Elon, Ki Chozak Humimenu, because they're much stronger than us. And on this, the Gemara in Sotah Darshan's Rashi brings down that Kevayocho Klapei Mal Omru, that the Rishoyim, the Meraglim, were talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if to say, you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are not strong enough, you also cannot fight these people. In other words, the Mamish came to Madrega to be Koifin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the next Pasuk says that for Yitzil Dibas Oretz, they also spoke Lashon Hara. They spoke dead about Eretz Yisrael. But in the first Pasuk, Yichazuku Mimenu means Mamish, that the Meraglim, like we spoke out before, because of the Indian of COVID, they wanted to have their own respect, they lost themselves, and they came to Madrega Mamish to be Koifer, to have Kvirin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if to say, you Hashem are not strong enough, you cannot beat these Giborim, these giants in Eretz Yisrael. Then Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Aleph says, Vatisa Kolo Eda. So Eda picked up Vayitnu et Kolom, they lifted up their voices, Vayivku on, and the whole nation cried, Balailahu. At that night, when the Meraglim told them it's going to be hard to go and conquer Eretz Yisrael, they started to cry, first to Eda, the Eda Pashit means the bear, the Meraglim, they started to cry, and they caused everybody, the whole Klai Yisrael, to start to cry. In other words, they felt they had a pacha, they had fear, they're not going to be able to go and fight and win Eretz Yisrael. They were all very afraid and scared, and they started to cry that night. And Chazal, the Gemara, and Tainas Darshin, that this was the night of Tisha B'Av, and the Pasuk says, Bocha Sifka Balailo, the Gemara Darshin, Hain Bochu, Bechiyah Shochinam, They cried for nothing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll be kaveh, I'll make a time when you'll have something to cry about. And this was the night of Tisha B'Av, that because of their crying now, it came out that on this night, the Beis HaMikdash was also burnt, and the Taka had something to cry about on Tisha B'Av. And the Lashon of the Chazal is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, they cried b'chiya shachinim. They cried for nothing. Like really, nothing was hurting them right now. Nothing was wrong right now. They had a tzibur, they had a mitzvah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, go into Eretz Yisrael. And it wasn't only now, but it was a promise from the other HaKadoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already promised Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak v'Yaakov that Klai Yisrael was going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So they had no reason to cry right now. And they cried in vain for nothing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kaveh, you'll have something to cry later on in the years about Tishba, about the Churban Habayis. The one sort of from Chaim Shalevet Tzal, like he explains that one of the worst klolos deroa, come out of the end of the klolos in the Torah, it says about that somebody's not going to know what he's going to eat tomorrow. So it's mashma, you have what to eat today, just the person's afraid he doesn't know what he's going to have tomorrow to eat. So the question is, what's so bad about that? But I call upon him right now, you have what to eat. So what's so bad about if you're not going to know what you're going to eat tomorrow? And he explained that the worst type of a klol there is the klolos if the problems people put upon themselves, like for no reason. A person himself, he has what to eat today. But since he doesn't know what he's going to eat tomorrow, he can eat himself up. He can make it so bitter today because he doesn't know what's going to be tomorrow that he causes himself to have the worst Gehenna possible. That's the pshat people cause upon themselves bad. In other words, live life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim helps us out. We have to do the mitzvahs. We have to do what we have to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us out. And if a person is just afraid and scared what's going to be in the future, he doesn't know how it's going to happen, even though right now nothing is hurting you. But stam, you feel you have no bitochen, you don't have enough trust in Hashem, you're worried about the future, you could push it, eat yourself up, worrying about problems that are not even a problem. And that's what happened here by Klal Yisrael. They started to cry, a cry of nothing. There was no reason at all to cry now. They caused it upon themselves. And because what they did to themselves, it was kaveya that this should be the night that the Beis HaMikdash will be burnt, and then they'll have something to cry about. Then later on, after they did the Chet of the Meraglim, that Moshe Rabbeinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he told them, like, please don't kill them all at one time. And he said reasons why that the Goyim should not say HaKadosh Baruch Hu was too weak to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, don't kill them all out. The Pasuk said that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, Erech HaPayim Rab Chesed Noisev HaFesham, then the Pasuk says, that Hashem Taka was mechudem, but still he said that I'm just not going to kill them all out at one time, but I call upon them, these people now will not be zechud to go into Eretz Yisrael, they'll all die out in the midst of the next 40 years, and their children, they will be the ones to be able to come into Eretz Yisrael. The question is, how come Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah did not help? Like if they did tshuva, like it says, lachti kedberecha, why didn't his tefillah help that Hashem should be meichel them legamri, that they should all be able to go into Eretz Yisrael right now? Hey, just like after the Chet Hegel, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalo for Klal Yisrael, so his tefillah helped. And there Ritaka said, all the Yud Gimel Midas Sharachmim. How come over here Moshe Rabbeinu did not say all the Yud Gimel Midas Sharachmim? And how come his tefillah did not help here that they should be able to come into Eretz Yisrael, but instead his tefillah only helped like an Erech HaPayim? His tefillah only helped to push off HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger that not to kill them all out now at one shot right now, that the Goyim should say Hashem was too weak to bring them in, but rather they should die slowly throughout the 40 years, but eventually none of them should still go, will be able to go into Eretz Yisrael, only their children. Like, how come Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah was not able to prevail over here? And some want to say that Moshe Rabbeinu knew, like, right now, Klal Yisrael did not do tshuva yet. Like, Klal Yisrael was still bemerit, they were still rebellious. They're like, would be koifer in the matana. They did not want this present that Hashem gave, promised them to give them Eretz Yisrael. They were koifer, they said it's too strong, we don't want it. And they were still rebellious right now. So since they were still aimed, bemeritum, they were still, like, not doing tshuva right now, so Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he cannot be meichel them completely on the chet. Therefore, here he did not say all the Yud Gimel Midas, but rather he only davened that Hashem should wait and have Erech HaPayim not to kill them out right now. Like the Chazal Dashan, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went up to Shemayim, he heard Hashem saying Erech HaPayim, So Moshe Rabbeinu thought it's only for the tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, sometimes even for the Rishayim also, I'll be Erech HaPayim. I won't have anger with them right now. I'll delay their punishment. And at that time, Moshe thought it's not good. Rishayim deserve to get their punish right away. And Hashem said, don't worry, it's going to come a time when you're going to want this also. And at this time now, the Klai Yisrael were like Rishayim, that they listened to the Meraglim, they started to cry. So since they were still demerit, they were still like rebellious, they weren't happy, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able with his Midas of Rachmanim to have Erech HaPayim, that's all. To push off the Oynish, push off the punishment for 40 years. But the punishment had to be. The Be'er Moshe explains, he brings down the Zohar, that the Zohar explains the Pshat is that these people were not able to go into Eretz Yisrael, even if they would do tshuva. That the pshat is, they were mekabel, they received the Lashon Hara, the Meraglim told them. And somebody that receives the Lashon Hara, it's poyel, it has some reshim upon them, it means something to them. So these people that accepted the Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, had no right to go into Eretz Yisrael. So they had to die, it's only their children, the next door, that were not affected by the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim, they are able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Moshe's tefillah was only able to be poyel, that Hashem should have Erech HaPayim, should like delay the punishment in order that it should not be a chil Hashem like in the eyes of the Goyim. But to allow these people to go into Eretz Yisrael, that couldn't be. And since the effect of Lashon Hara was upon them, they could not come into Eretz Yisrael. In other words, you could also say is the pshat is that since they were, that their chet here was that they were denying the matana that Hashem was giving them to go into Eretz Yisrael. They said they don't want it, it's too strong for us. When you go directly head-on kinega the present that Hashem wants to give you and deny it and say you don't want it, that Hashem can't give it to you anymore. No matter how much tshuva you do, you're not zeichah to receive it anymore. So therefore it was only the children that were able to come in and not the parents. They had to die in the midbar. Then the Pasha goes on in Perek Tezvov that it says, after the hochet to the Meraglim, then it says, V'yadavra Hashem Moshe Lemor, Dabro b'nei Yisrael v'yamarto aleihem ki sevoyu al eretz meshvaseichem. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, asher ani noisin lechem that I will give you, there's the parasha when you bring kabbonos, you have to bring a mincha with it. You have to bring the nesachim. You have to bring a mincha made out of flour. How much flour? You also have to have wine. And how much flour? That's the nesachim that comes with the kabbonos. So the das kenabal teisus explains, why does the Torah put right after the parasha of the Meraglim the union about going into Eretz Yisrael having the Karbonos? Is the pshat that the Klai Yisrael now felt that they're going to have to live now 40 years in the Midbar and they're going to die out there. Just a new generation, they'll go into Eretz Yisrael. That they come out, Klai Yisrael was Miyayish, gave up hope of going into Eretz Yisrael. They figured just like we did in Avera, maybe our children will also do in Avera, do something wrong, and they won't be zeichah to go into Eretz Yisrael either. So the Pasuk now is telling them, no, you should know there's going to be a mitzvah, there's going to be a time when you are going to come into Eretz Yisrael, and there's going to be the mitzvah to bring the kabbonis then, and you'll have the parasha of Nesachim, like, don't worry, there'll be that tocha that you will eventually come into Eretz Yisrael, even though it won't be by you, but it'll be by your children. In the Tana Dvei Eliyo Rabba, it says a little bit different. It says there that the Pasuk before said, Vayisabal Amoin, Moid, that Klai Yisrael felt very bad what they did. Eventually, Klai Yisrael did do tshuva. So he felt bad that they listened to the Meraglim, that they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They felt bad about it. So, B'yayisi Shom HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, the Tana Dvei says, the Tana Dvei Eliyo, that at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Lech Betir Tzes Oysam, go and appease Klai Yisrael. So, Moshe said, how could I do it? How could I appease Klai Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Leich v'tirtzoysam b'divrei Torah. Go and appease them, go make Klai Yisrael feel happy now with divrei Torah, with teaching them the halachis about what's going to be Nogeya in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, teach them the halachis now that the Pasuk talks about, the nesachim, with the flour, the mincha you have to bring with your korban and the yayin. And next talks about the chi of challah, to give challah to the kahanim when you come into Eretz Yisrael. That be a martelim ki sever let pesachem yasis pesachem olay zovich. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. It's interesting that even though Klai Yisrael now had the gzar din that this generation cannot come into Eretz Yisrael, and they felt terrible now about it. After they did tshuva, they realized what they did. They felt terrible. So true, there was a gzar din they couldn't come into Eretz Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe be mefaist and make them feel good by letting them learn the halachis of what's going to happen in Eretz Yisrael. So even though bepoyel, really they couldn't do the mitzvahs, but learning the Torah, learning the halachis about these mitzvahs, also has some type of a chashivus as if you're doing the mitzvah. So this is how Klal Yisrael felt happy, was appeased by the fact they have the halachas now about mitzvahs that are going to take place in Eretz Yisrael. So learning the mitzvahs about Eretz Yisrael had an effect upon them a little bit as if they were in Eretz Yisrael. So even though right now the mitzvah wasn't a geya, but still at the chashivus from Eretz Yisrael, they went to learn these mitzvahs. It gave them a cheshek, an appeasement about Eretz Yisrael. So Lamaisa, this ends the parsha of the Chet of the Meraglim. Now up until now we were talking about what the Chet, what the Meraglim themselves did wrong. But the Maisa from the Psukim, from the Gemara, it's Mashma, that the actual fact that Klal Yisrael wanted to send Meraglim, that the Klal Yisrael came and said, let us send messengers to spy out Eretz Yisrael, that also was considered a Chet. The question, what was wrong with it? The Chru, they wanted to have some Mishtablis, they wanted to try and see how they could win the war by a normal manner without coming on to Nisan from Hashem. So what was so wrong about the actual fact that Klal Yisrael asked to send Meraglim to spy out Eretz Yisrael? And the Ramban explains that the Pshat was really at their Madrega, the Dor Deya of the Midbar, that they saw so many great Nisan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was acting with them, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yitzias Mitzrayim, Mechemas HaMolek, they saw all the great Nisim, that their great Madrega they should have not asked to even to have some Mishtablis. They shouldn't have doubted at all what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that they could win the war going into Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have to ask for any help, any Tevedika, materialika help. And the morale explains also like this, that the Pshat was this little bit of an Atiya, that they wanted to rely upon Teva and not totally have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now their own Mishtadlis, this little bit was a chet that got into them, and from this little chet, that turned them over within these 40 days, that these Tzadikim Gemurim were able to turn over to become and to be Rishorim, to say this Lashon Hara, and to say this Kfir in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though we explained, like the Messiah Hashem said, and the Zohar, that it was because of the Midah covered they had inside them, but still at the beginning when they went, they were tzaddikim. Like the morale explains, there's something wrong with them that caused them to lose their titkis, that they listened to the Yetzirah because of their covet to want all this, to do this averus. And that's because Metchil that did in the tea of Ram, they went off the train, like you say, off the track a little bit, but the fact that they wanted to have some mishtablis, they wanted to work on their own and not have total bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKoponim was a chet for the Dor HaMidbar. That they were such at a high madrega, they saw how much Hashem was helping them. Like, they should have had more bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, from this we learn out that everybody in his matziv, that there's a certain amount of, like, bitachon we have to have. We have to have trust and bitachon to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that gives us everything. And even after we have our hishtadlis, we do work to make the panosa, we do work, we do some hishtadlis, we still have to always realize it, that the end is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that has given us everything. Then later on, by the end of by Perek Tezvov, Posik Lamed, Posik says, V'hanefesh ha-shatase b'yad Romo. If somebody does the chet, which means the chet of Avodah Zarah, is v'nichrusu ha-nefeshi mikarev amo, ki dvar Hashem bozo. Because he was mevaza, he acted not nice to the words of Hashem, v'yetz mitzvosoi heifar, he went against the mitzvahs, he chorus to chorus a nefeshi avoinavom. He has a chi of chorus because he did this avera. So, Widash and Rashi says also, Dvar Hashem, ki Dvar Hashem bozo, Rashi says, Azor avoid the Zoro, mipi agvura v'yasham mipi moshen. Because we heard the first, one of the Aseret HaDibros, we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a Dvar Hashem. He'll be mevazat na avoinavom, Rashi says, bizman shavoinavom, shloyosa tshuva. We didn't do tshuva. But the posh, the posak here means, if you do the chet of avoid the Zoro, that's called Dvar Hashem Bozo, you'd be Mavazi, you're making that nice the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, it's interesting, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dashin, the Daftadik test, that Haloi Meteira, Viena Malamdo, is El Dvar Hashem Bozo. If somebody learns Torah, but he does not teach it to other people, that's also included in this Indian of Dvar Hashem Bozo. He is acting not nice, he's Mavaza HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Dibur. In other words, even though that's not your intentions by not teaching others to be mevazeh, to act not nice to the Torah, but that's a fact, that if you know Torah, you know the Dvar Hashem, and you don't give it over to other people, you don't teach it to other people also, that's called you being Mavazah. In other words, you're holding back some Kiddush Hashem. In other words, the fact you learn Torah Barabim, you learn with other people, you create a tremendous amount of Kvod Shemayim, of Kiddush Hashem. And that's Indian to learn Barabim, to teach others, even to talk and learning one with another. Have you heard of a nice Pshat in the Gemara? You heard a nice Pshat in the Chumash? You tell over to one another. You tell your friend the Pshat in the Torah. That's called the Kiddush Hashem that you have. You're giving it over to somebody else. And you're causing a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. By holding back this Kiddush Hashem, that's called Dvar Hashem Bozer. You are Mavaza, you made not nice the Dibur of Hashem. In other words, you had the power to teach somebody else some Torah, to create Kvod Shemayim, by not creating the Kvod Shemayim or the Kiddush Hashem, that's also called the Dvar Hashem Bozer. And then at the end of the parasha, if the Maftir talks about the parashas of Tzitzis, and the pasuk says, "Dabro b'nei Yisrael v'yamartu aleihem v'yosu lehem tzitzis yishmei tzitzis ha'kanfe v'gdeil v'deroysom the corners of your clothing v'nosnu al tzitzis ha'konof psil tcheles." You have to put a string of tcheles on it also. And the pasuk says, "V'hoyo lechem letzitzis it should be for you for tzitzis u'risa moisa you should see them u'zechartem es kol mitzvos Hashem." It will make you remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. The asisa moisam, and once you remember them, will help you to do them. And then the pasuk says, "Lo yisasur achal abachom achrenichem asheratem zonim achreim." Don't go after your lave. Don't go after avodah zarah. Don't go after your eyes to see znus. But rather, again, leman tizkru, in order that you should remember. The asisa mendu as kol mitzvosay, all my mitzvahs. The yisem kadoshim lelokechem, and we should be kadosh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi says, "Uzchartim as kol mitzvahs Hashem." We should remember all the mitzvahs. Rashi says, "Sheminyan the gematria shel tzitzis shei shmeyos v'shmeyna." It's 608. 600. Oh, shmeyna chutim v'chamisha ksharim harei tayag. That's all. It's from tzitzis and rum is the tayag mitzvahs. And the Chinuch explains here. He says that sherish haMitzvah nigla b'kosev. The Torah itself explains what this mitzvah is about. And it is Leman Nizkor Kol Mitzvahs Hashem Tomid, in order that we should always be able to remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. And he says there's nothing greater in the world to make us remember, but rather than somebody is holding upon himself the chosim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his begodim. And it's in front of us, Tomid, that's the thing that on our begodim, on our clothing, we carry with us the seal, the chosim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the tzitzis. And that reminds us that we're an ever to Hashem, and we have to do His Taryag Mitzvahs. And that's the Gemara in Menachos Adarsha, says like this, Nafnem Gimel, that Riya Mevil Deitzchira, if you see the tzitzis, it'll come to remind you, Uzchira Mevil Deitzchira, and be reminded about the mitzvahs, that will make you do the mitzvahs. In other words, Avada, you have to learn the halachis of the mitzvahs, you have to learn the Torah, and by learning the Torah, you know how to do the mitzvah, and that will come to make you do the mitzvah itself. But the Kopa of the Chinuch says it's called the Chosim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the special seal we have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And it's a tremendous thing to remember to do all the mitzvahs. And therefore people have to be very happy and proud about the tzitzis and not to try and hide it and to be happy about it. But for Karet, we have to be happy and proud about our tzitzis. And that's why the mitzvahs of Chilah, to have the string sticking out, that you should see it, in order that should come to remind you to do all the mitzvahs of Hashem. And really, the Tana Dvei Eliyahu says over here that what are the smichas of the mitzvahs of tzitzis to the parsha before of the Mekoshesh, that somebody was mechal with Shabbos, and because of that they gave mechiv misa. So Tana Dvei Eliyahu says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Moshe Rabbeinu, how come Klai Yisrael did the chet of mechal with Shabbos? If Neymar chilu zeh se Shabbos. Is Oma Moshe Lufonu Rebbeinu Shlolem Eni Yodeya? So Moshe Rabbeinu asked, I don't know why he was Mechal Shabbos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, I'll tell you why. He says, because every day of the week, there's a mitzvah tefillin. Klai Yisrael puts on tefillin, on the hands, on the head. Therefore, they wouldn't do a chet, they wouldn't do an avera. But when it comes Shabbos, and there's no mitzvah tefillin, so because they don't have any mitzvah tefillin, that's why they did the avera of Chilul Shabbos. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll tell you, Moshe Rabbeinu, that now go and tell Klai Yisrael, there's the mitzvah tzitzis. That even on Shabbos also, when Yom Tovim, will also have this mitzvah titis that will remind us not to do any averis and will stop us from anything. So you see that tzitzis is kamat, has the same kedusha, the same, helps us just like tefillin does. And really there's a gemara like that that says that shkula mitzvah zu kineged kol mitzvah kulin. That tzitzis is kineged all the mitzvahs. And who did tefillin also was brought down hukshu kol tarakulu tefillin. So tefillin has to, tzitzis has to do just like tefillin. It's the reminder that we're in ever to Hashem and we have this special chosen, special seal on our begodim. And that's the story the Gemara brings down in Menachis, that Oysa Odom was Nitzel Me'avera, he saved himself from having Znus with an Isha, V'schus HaTzitzis. When he had to take off his Tzitzis, the Tzitzis reminded him of the mitzvahs and not to do the Avera. Now really in the Pasha here, it repeats itself twice. It says first, V'hoye Lachem L'Tzitzis, U'Rise Moisa, you should see them, U'Zchartem Eskol Mitzvahs Hashem, and you should remember all the mitzvahs, and then the Asisa Moisa, you should do them. Then it says, Lo yisasur achar lebavachem, don't go after your heart. V'yachar enechem, don't go after what you are, you see all the bear to do. And then again, the pasuk says over again, Laman tizkru, that you should be able to remember, V'asistem as kol mitzvois, and to do all my mitzvahs. So the question is, the pasuk started off already and said once, U'ri'isem oisoy zechartem, you should see the tzitzis and remember. So what does the pasuk, next pasuk say over again, Laman tizkru v'asistem as kol mitzvois, that you should again, in order to remember and do all my mitzvahs. And everyone saw a pshat, that the pshat is that l'maisa, when we look at our tzitzis, it doesn't always remind us of all the mitzvahs of the Torah. And the question is, why not? The pasuk says here, look at the tzitzis, and it's supposed to remind you to do all the mitzvahs. So some of us say the pshat is, but the pasuk says the tenai in between. It says, v'lo yistasuru achre l'bavachem, don't go after your heart, don't go after avodah zarah. Don't go after what your eye sees. Your eye sees, your eyes want to do averus, do zinus, do other things. Don't go after what your eye see. Then, leman tizkur vasisim. In other words, if you don't go after the Yetzirah, you don't go after what your eyes want you to do, you remain a Kaddish, then by looking at the tzitzis, it will bring you lidei tchiro de'asiyo, as called mitzvois of yisim kodeshim alakechim. And then taka will be Kaddish to Hashem. So sometimes the reason why by us, by looking at the tzitzis, it doesn't remind us completely of all the mitzvahs is because we're not clean from this inyan of lo yisasur. They saw, v'lo lokhu musar, they didn't take musar. This is the Medrash Tanchuma. In other words, they were rishoyim that they did the avera, they spoke Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. And they did not learn from Miriam that for speaking Lashon Hara you get punished. It's an avera. They didn't learn, they also spoke Lashon Hara, spoke bad about Eretz Yisrael. Now really, what Rashi's question is, why does it say now the Pashas of Meraglim? Because really, these three, last three, like these three Pashas now, the first it spoke about Miriam, now it speaks about the Pashas of Meraglim, and then the next Pasha talks about Korach, then you know what happened by Korach Vadosai. Now really, from the Gemara and Tainus is Mashma, that come at the same time that Miriam spoke the Lashon Hara, right after that was the machlokes between Korach v'Adosai. And after the machlokes of Korach, first happened the mice of the Meraglim, that they sent the spies throughout Israel. So this is really Rashi's question, the Medrash Tanchuma. Like really, Parshas Korach should have come first, and then should have come Parshas Shlach. So that's what the Medrash is asking. How come the Torah puts down the Inyan of Meraglim right after the Parshas of Miriam, where really it should have been later after the Parshas of Korach? So that's the Medrash Tanchuma's answer to teach us that they did not learn, these Rishonim did not learn from what happened to Miriam. That she spoke Lashon Hara, and there was an Avera, she got punished for it, and they did not learn from this, they also went to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And really we'll see later on in the next parashas that there's a mitzvah to remember what happened to Miriam, like every single day. What's the mitzvah to remember what happened to Miriam? Like, Huru, what's so nice about speaking out that Miriam did an Avera, she spoke Lashon Hara, and she got punished? And L'chura Tzikinai, it's something not nice to Miriam. So why does the Torah later say there's a mitzvah to remember it? And the reason is that the reason why Miriam, the Torah speaks about it, is to teach us to learn out from it not to do Lashon Hara. To learn out that the fact that she spoke Lashon Hara and she got punished, so we see it's something bad and something to learn not to do it. So the mitzvah of Zechira, to remember what happened to Miriam, is like the mitzvah to Elis for Miriam. It's like a kapara for Miriam. The fact we're going to learn out from Miriam not to speak Lashon Hara, that's going to be a schus for her, that's going to be a kapara for Miriam. And that's the pshat why the Torah right now put this parsha of Meraglim to teach us that they did not learn out from the parsha of Miriam not to speak Lashon Hara, but instead they still went and spoke Lashon Hara. Now really the Gemara in Erchin on the Avtez Vavam and Aleph, it says at the end of the Mishnah, it speaks about how bad Lashon Hara is, and it says Shalai Nechtam Gzar Din Al Avaseinu Bamidbar Ela Al Lashon Hara, that the reason why Klai Yisrael had the Gzar Din to die out in the Midbar, to stay 40 years and not to go straight into Eretz Yisrael, was because of the aver of Lashon Hara. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Vayenasu Oisi Ze Esepomim V'Loi Shomu B'Koli. Now really the question on this Medrash Tanchumer is, like, how should we learn out from Miriam these Nesiyim, the Meraglim, not to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? Like Bishlem and Miriam, she spoke Lashon Hara about abroad, about Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a terrible thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is the God Lador. To speak Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a terrible thing. He's a person. Mashenkin here, what they were speaking about was Eitzim Ve'avonim. They were talking about the land itself, the wood there, the people there. The people, they're talking about Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz the offer. The dirt, the land of Eretz Yisrael was not a good land. So to speak about Eitzim Ve'avonim, who said that's so bad? Maybe it's only a terrible thing to speak about a person, speak about a tzaddik. But to speak about Rishoyim, or about the land itself, who says it's such a bad thing? Like, how come the Meraglim, what was the Tfiyah, why should have they learned out the Chalal from Miriam? And the answer, what you have to say here, is that talking bad about Eretz Yisrael is not just sound like talking about Eitzim Ve'avonim. Like, first of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that said, Eretz Yisrael is Toivi, it's a good land. So Klai Yisrael, when they went, the Meraglim now went to speak bad about it, it's Kamat like they're speaking bad about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like they're saying differently from what Hashem said. Hashem said it's a good land, you'll be able to conquer it, and they want to say, no, it's too strong for us, we won't be able to conquer it. So it's come out like they're saying Lashon Hara against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a terrible thing. That for sure they should have learned out from Miriam, just like they saw by Miriam. You should not talk Lashon Hara about people. For sure you should not talk Lashon Hara about something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was made, told us that it's good. You shouldn't say against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, even though the Gemara in Erechin says that the Avera they did, the Meraglim, was that they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, that was the Avera, and that's the way the Rambam also paskens like this in Hilchas Deyos Halacha Vov, that because they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, still we have to know what caused them, like what was the Siba, what was the reason why they did this Avera of speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Like the Pasuk says here, the Apostle Gimel says, "Vayishlach Hoyse Moshe Mimid Baparon Api Hashem Kula Manoshim." All of them were people. Roshay Bnei Yisrael Heima, the heads of Bnei Yisrael. And Rashi says, when the Apostle says Kula Manoshim, Rashi says Kola Anoshim Sheba Mikro Loshin Chashivus. Whenever it says the word Anoshim, it means they're very special people. V'yoyse Shok Sherim Hoyu. At that time, they were big tzaddikim. In other words, these 12 Nesiim were very, very big tzaddikim. And the Ramban says, it says, each Nosi according to how Choshev he was. So the first one was Mate Ruvain, was Shamua ben Zakar. Then first Shofet ben Chori. Then first Kolev ben Yefuna. In other words, the first two Nesim were even greater than Kolev ben Yefuna. And Yoshua was first mentioned, the fifth one. Lamate Ephraim was Hoshea ben Nun. So it comes out all these Nesim were Mamish, Chaverim, Tzadikim, like Hoshea ben Nun and Kolev ben Yefuna. So how come all of them, if they were tzaddikim now, how come after 40 days spying Eretz Yisrael, when they came back, they had the chutzpah to do this avera, to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? And we'll see later, not only did they speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, but they also mamash were like kofen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said that kalpi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not strong enough to win the war for us. The mamash spoke against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could it be that in such a short time, of only 40 days, these big tzaddikim now came to do such a chet to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael and to speak bad about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, mamish to be a kofer on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How could it happen? What caused them to do this avera? And really, the Mesilas Yesharim in Perek Yud Aleph explains this, and he says the Zohar HaKodesh explains the Pashas by Midbar that the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara because of their gaiva, they wanted to have covet. In other words, they were afraid that right now when the Midbar, they were the Nesiyim. They were the heads of Klai Yisrael. They were afraid that if Klai Yisrael would go into Eretz Yisrael, they would lose their covet. They would lose their respect. They would not be called Nesiyim anymore. then maybe in Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu would appoint somebody else to be the Nesiim. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, there will be the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, the whole Klai Yisrael will be lifted up, will be more Kedush, so maybe at a higher Madregum, they'll have to have other people, maybe more Chashiva people, to become the Nesiim, to become the leaders. So because the Nesiim were afraid that they would lose their Kovid, they wanted to have respect, they wanted to have Kovid, because of the need of Kovid, that's why they went to do this Aver to speak Lashon Hara, as if to cause Klai Yisrael not to go into Eretz Yisrael, in order that they should not lose their Kovid. And this is really like the Mishnah Novi says, that Hakina via Kovid via Taivo is Moitziu Nesodim in Olam. The fact that you have Kovid, you want to have your respect, you're afraid to lose some respect, you're afraid people won't respect you, if you're afraid of that, a mamash could take you out of this world. In other words, even though these Nesiim right now were mamash tzaddikim gemurim, but because they were afraid that they would lose their Kovid, that's why they came to do this big aveira of speaking Lashon Hara and to speak bad about HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Nehu Adin, we'll talk about later, the same thing by Pashas Korach. The Machlokes there was also because of his Kovid, he didn't want to lose his Kovid. But Kol Poron, we have to learn out from these Pashas, then you know what the Mishnah says, to stay away from Kovid, not to want to take respect, that people should respect you, to that you're a great person. That's a stira to the Midah of Anovam, that's a bad Midah. Like Adarava, but Moshe Rabbeinu was brought down that Moshe Onov Mikolodim. Moshe's Midah was he was an Onov. That's the Midah we have to go after, to be a humble person, but not to look after respect. When a person goes after Kovid, Himamish could be a Tzadi Gomer, and the Kovid is called like a Sam Hamovis, it goes into you, and as soon as it gets a hold of you, you could lose your senses. Himamish should do a tremendous Severe like the Meraglim did here, that they came to say Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, and also against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the second Rashi says that the Pasuk says, Shalach Lecho, like send for you. So Rashi says, L'daitcho, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, it's up to your will. Like if you want to send, send. But Ani Eina Metzav Eloch, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, me myself, I'm not commanding you to send the Meraglim. It just means, Imtirtzeh Shalach, if you want Moshe Rabbeinu, you could send it. And the reason why, because in Pashas Devarim it says, L'fi Shebo Yisrael V'yarmu Nishlecho Anashim L'fanenu. Klai Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu and complained, we want to send spies to Eretz Yisrael. Like the Pasuk says, V'tikrivun elai kulchem. Or Moshe nimlach b'shchina, so Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that he liked the idea, but he didn't send them until he first asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is amat elohem shi toiva? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, but I told Klai Yisrael already it's a good land. Shenemer ele eschem miyoni mitzrayim. Chayeim sheinoysel nemokim litas v'divri meragnu l'man nilu yirashu. That like, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I'm not commanding you to send the Meraglim. Just if you want to, you could send it. But the question is, though, like, why did Moshe Rabbeinu was maskim? Why did Moshe Taka send him? Nuchur it's an aveira upon Moshe Rabbeinu. If Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one that told us that Eretz Yisrael is toiva, it's a good land, everything is good there, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu maskim? Why did he give his consent? Let them send the Meraglim. And later on in the Pasha also we see that when he did send them, he asked them questions, as if to say, Orisim Mesoros, look into the land. Mahi, what type of a land it is? V'esom ha'yeshev aleh ha'chozaku ha'rofe ha'matu imrov. Like, check over the land, see if it's strong, if there's a lot, if not. O moritz ha'shev yeshev ha'toivi imrov, ma'horim ha'shev yeshev ha'ino, ma'chanim im b'mivsorim. O moritz ha'shmeino, v'az Moshe Rabbeinu Mamish gave them ideas to think about, is it good or not good? So chur it's a chet upon Moshe Rabbeinu. How could Moshe ask these questions? And how come Moshe Rabbeinu was maskim, agreed to send them raglim, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm telling you it's good, and that's why Hashem did not command them to do it, he didn't give a mitzvah to send them. So how come Moshe Rabbeinu by himself was maskim to say, okay, you could send it, luchur it's a chet upon Moshe Rabbeinu. So there are two ways to learn here. The Ramban explains that really what Klai Yisrael came to ask was a normal effect, that they knew they have to go to fight Eretz Yisrael, to fight the Eretz Canaan. And of course they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it was good and we would win the war, that they were not doubtful. They knew it was good. But just l'maisi, before you go to have a mechama, you have to look out the ground to see which is a good way to go up to fight. Should we go this side of the land, that side of the land? But they wanted to really spy out the land before you have a mechama. And that's your lot to do. Even when Yeshua, before he went up to fight, he sent Meraglim. He sent two Meraglim to check out, to know exactly how to go to fight to win the mechama. So when they went to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to go up to spy out the land to see how to fight, That Moshe Rabbeinu was maskim. That's a good idea. Like, it's not a secret to Hashem's rotzim. Even though Hashem said it's toivo, but lemaisa, we have to know how to go up there and fight, which routes, how to do it. So that was all Moshe Rabbeinu's questions that he was asking the Meraglim now. When you go up, true, you want a spy to know how to fight. Look it all over. See which is a good land, which is a bad land, where it's strong, where it's not, where it's populated, where not. Not because we have doubts whether it's good and if we could win the war. Of course we could win it. Just we want to know, if derech hateva, which is the best way to go about to have the war. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was maskim that they should go. Other midrashim said that the pshat was Klai Yisrael came to Moshe and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us Eretz Yisrael is great. There's a lot of riches there. In other words, the goyim are going to hide all their riches someplace in Eretz Yisrael, and when we go there, we're supposed to find it. But Klai Yisrael was afraid maybe that the goyim will hide it so good, we won't know where to find the riches. So therefore, we want to go up right now and spy out to see exactly where all this good is in Eretz Yisrael. Kedei that when we get there, we'll be able to find it. So when Moshe heard that, Moshe thought they really mean to go Litzad HaTov, that they really want to go. They haven't asked to win the war. They know Hashem said it's good. They just want to find out where the riches are, so that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking too. And Moshe just asked him these questions like, be careful when you look out to see exactly where all the good is. But the pshat is, that's the way Moshe Rabbeinu thought. Because Moshe Rabbeinu right now was only able to see the way right now they were tzaddikim, they were kashra people. Hashem Kana Kodesh Baruch Hu, he was able to see the Yosid. He saw that these people are, after 40 years, going to turn into be Rishoyim because of the covet that they're going to want. They're going to want to keep their own respect. They're going to be have Charata. Then they're going to be scared about going to Eretz Yisrael. They're going to come out to speak Diba Ra, speak Lashon Hara. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu was not really masking. He didn't give a commandment to send them because Kodesh Baruch Hu knew the Yosid. But I call upon him, he didn't stop Moshe Rabbeinu as if to say, like, Shlach Lecho. Like you, Moshe, if you want to send them, the way you see them right now in your eyes, they look like tzaddikim, I'm not going to stop you. You could go ahead and send them. But of course, Baruch Hu himself was able to see the Yosid. He didn't give a tzivu to send it. And that's really what the Pasuk Gimel says, that Vayishlach Oysa Moshe Mivin Baporon Al Pi Hashem. It says Al Pi Hashem. It means by the mouth of Hashem, says Mashma Kodesh Baruch Hu did command him. So Rashi explains it means Birshusoi. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu Rishus, he gave him permission to let them go. So therefore, it's not considered a chet. Moshe didn't do anything wrong, because Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command them to go. He just says, if in your eyes it looks good, and in Moshe's eyes it did look good. Because Moshe saw them right now as tzaddikim, and he heard these two reasons why they want to go, either to find the riches there, or else just to know the status, how to go to fight. So it looked good in Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim. It was not called Api Hashem. Hashem gave them rishus to go. But not that he commanded them, because just that he gave them rishus. Then in Pasuk Chof it says that Moshe was telling them, the Meraglim, to check out Eretz Yisrael. He said, Alosh in Mohoritz, what type of a land is it? Hashmein, is it fat? He. Imrozo, is it lean? Hayesh v'eitz, is there any tree there? Imayin or not? You should be strong and take from its fruits. And at that time, it was the days when the grapes were growing. And Rashi brings down, what is the question? Is there a tree or not? So Rashi says it means, go check and make sure there's no goyim there that are very choshev or koshera, or tzaddik there like, that he would protect Eretz Yisrael, that now the Yidden would not be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So even though literally the Pasuk means, Pashid, check out, is there wood there or not? But Rashi changes it from the Pashid Shat, and says, no, it means, Aruch Nisik Asharlam. That Moshe was telling them, make sure there's no tzaddik there in Eretz Yisrael living there now, that would protect them, that the Yidden won't be able to take over. And the reason why Rashi doesn't say Pashid Shat here, like usually, but he rather talks to into Ruch Nisik a thing, that the psukim we're not talking about right now, because otherwise it's a kashka. Like, what does the pasuk mean if there's wood or not? Like if he spoke about if it's a fat land, that means it gives off a lot of produce. So for sure there are eitzim there. What does it mean lashon of eitz? So therefore Rashi dashens mean if there's an oven kosher. The Gemara in Barbasco talks about this, that really the oven kosher was Eiv. The question was Eiv still alive? Because he was a tzaddik and he could have protected them. That's what's brought down later when the Meraglim came to Eretz Yisrael. It says the whole door there, they were Isaac and Levaya, burying somebody. They didn't have time to take care of the Meraglim. And it says that they were by the Levaya of Eve. Eve was Nifter then. So it was true now, after Eve was Nifter, they didn't have the schus of the Tzaddik to be making on them. But it's interesting, where the Torah calls like a Tzaddik Lashon of an Eitz, a tree. Because the Pshat is really a person, when he's born, he's like Adama. Like Min Ha'adam, a person came out of the ground. The ground, there's a potential in the ground that you could put seeds there and it could grow. The ground makes things grow. If it doesn't grow, you're just wasting it. You're wasting the ground. That's the same way a person is. A person is here, has the potential to grow, to become a tzaddik. If he grows and becomes a tzaddik, he's like an eighth. He uses up his potential, he's growing. If a person doesn't grow, in Lashon Chazal, they call it like an amor, it's a bur. A bur means an empty land. Land, ground that you are not using. That's called bur. It's ledik. It's laying there, wasting. That's not a person. A person has the kayach, the power to grow, to become a tzaddik, to grow higher and higher and higher. And if not, he could just let himself waste away and remain a bur, an empty person. That's what here the pasuk calls a tzaddik by lashon of an eitz. Means that he's a growing person. He's somebody that's steiging, becoming higher and higher. Then Pasuk Chavovit says, Vayalu Banegev, they went up on the south side, Vayavoy at Hebron. They went up into Hebron, Vishom, Machimon, Shesha, Vesalmi, Lidi, Honak, there were giants, Vihebron, Sheva, Shem, Nivna, Solofnei, Tsoyim, Mitroim. So Rashi explains how come they passed by Hebron. So Rashi says, really goes on, Kolev, Levadi, Holachshom. It was only Kolev, he went to Hebron. Vinishtatach, Al Kivrayovis. He like lied down on top of the kivrei of the Ovis of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and he davened, he prayed to them that they should be a siyata d'shmari, they should help him. He should not be included with the bad thoughts of the Meraglim. He should also not decide to talk Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, but rather to be saved. The Kolev himself went to daven by the kivrei of the Ovis. Now the Pasuk before, when it spoke about Yeshua, Pasuk Terev Zayin, it said, that Moshe changed now Hoshea ben Nun's name and added the Yud at the beginning to call him Yehoshua. So Rashi says, what is the Pshat? Rashi says, his Spalol Olov, that Moshe Rabbeinu Davin prayed for Yehoshua, that Ko Hashem Yeshiyacha should help you Meyatas Meraglim, from the bad thoughts of the Meraglim. And really there's a Yerushalmi that explains what happened to this Yud. Like how come Moshe had the right to add an extra Yud to Hoshea ben Nun's name and called him now Yehoshua? So Yerushalmi says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed Sarai's name into Sarah, that first it was Shin Reish Yud, and now Hashem took away the Yud and called her Sarah, so the Yud came complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, you took away me from a big tzaddikus? What are you doing with me? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, I'll eventually put you back to a tzaddik's name, and now by Sarai, you're at the end of the name. I'm going to put you back at the beginning of the name of the tzaddik. And that's this pasuk that Vayikra Moshe Lohoshea Benun Yehoshua, that Moshe took that Yud that was taken away from Sarai's name and put it now onto Yeshua. In other words, to show the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makted marmi every single ois of the Torah. Every little ois that's written in the Torah, there's a purpose, there's a chshivas. And if the ois Yud was taken away from Sarai, it means something. There's a complaint about it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mamalitz Chosarin that added it now to Hoshea and called him now Yehoshua. To show how he has to be makpid upon every single ois of the Torah, the Chshivas, what it means, every single thing has a purpose, why it's there. The Akoponim, these were the two tzaddikim that were saved from the Yatzat Meraglim. They did not go along with the thoughts of the Meraglim. It was Yehoshua and Kolev. And for two different reasons. By Yehoshua it was Moshe Rabbeinu that davened for them. And by Kolev it was he himself went to the Kivrei Ovis, went to the Moros HaMachpel and davened for himself that the Ovis should be Mefayeyam to help him. And the Chofetz Chaim talks about it. How come really Moshe Rabbeinu was a Mespalel for Kolev right away? Like Vaisbeis Pashid, they knew that these two were Tzadikim. So why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu daven for Kolev? Or why didn't Yehoshua go to the Kivrei Ovis to be Mespalo by the others? How come Yeshua went to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe was Mespalo for Yeshua. And how come a Kolev ben Yefuneh he had his protection from the Kibrei Ovis. And the Chofetz Chaim wants to explain that there were two different drachim here in Avodas Hashem. Like Lamashal here, these two tzaddikim had to go these 40 days now and live with the Meraglim like Rishoyim. Now when a tzaddik lives amongst Rishoyim, let's say for a few weeks, there are two ways you could act. One way you could be moicha them, argue with them right away and say out you disagree with them, I don't hold what you're doing wrong, and this is the way you should do it. The other way you could do is, right now be quiet, like agree with them, make believe you agree with them, be quiet, and at the end of the weeks, when you finally come to the big issue in front of a lot of people, then these Rishoyim think that you were their friends all along. Now when it comes out in front of the whole Tzibur, now you come and tell them that their sheet is wrong, and listen to me, this is the right way. Maybe now they'll listen to you. And really the Chofetz Chaim explains both ways are remiss, and both ways have malice and chesroinus. So the kid says, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Yoshua's kayach was, he was like a fighter. That was his metzias. And he knew that if he's going to go with these miraglim now these 40 days, whenever they think to do anything bad, right away Yeshua's going to talk back to them and tell them, no, you're doing wrong, this is the way you should do it right way. And you know what happens then? It's a big sakana. Because the Rishonim could come and kill you right then. They could come and beat you up and be mazik you. So Poshid Yeshua had to have a bracha so that he should like stay alive. The Meraglim shouldn't hurt him, shouldn't do any harm to him. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalo for Yeshua, that the Atas Rishonim, that the Meraglim should not affect him, should not do any harm to him. Marshenken Kolev's midah was the other way. Kolev was quiet all along. He acted as if he was friendly with them, as if he was giving in to them. Whatever they wanted, he didn't argue with them. He waited till later, when they came back in front of the whole Klal Yisrael, then Kolev thought that these Meraglim will think I'm his friend, and later they'll listen to me when I tell them they're doing wrong. And that's what happened later. Taka Kolev told them to be quiet, and first Kolev started to talk about Moshe, and they thought they were going to talk about the bad of Moshe, and then Kolev started to talk the good, and that's the way Kolev had his effect upon the Meraglim. So if you act nice to them at the beginning, like Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to give Kolev a bracha. Like at the beginning, there wouldn't be any action, there wouldn't be any harm done to him from the Meraglim. So he did not need his bracha. However, later, when he went with the Meraglim, the sakana is that if you keep quiet and don't argue back to them, like you yourself could cool off. And maybe eventually you yourself will give in to them and you become part of the Rishoyim. So Kolev, when he came into Eretz Yisrael and he passed by Hebron, he saw that it was very hard for him just to be quiet and to keep on agreeing with them. Like he was afraid maybe he himself would also become like them. Therefore, he himself had to go and daven by the Kivri Yovis that the Yovis should help him, that now when he's quiet, he should not give in to them. And this is the way his mazur, the Chofetz Chaim, that is a sefer that says that in these parashiyos, sometimes it puts Yeshua first, and sometimes it puts Kolev first. And the sefer says, l'lam to teach us, sheshneim shkulim. They are both equal. And the question is, like we know for sure, Yeshua is a much bigger tzaddik. Yeshua took over the leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over to Yeshua, now LaYomish. He didn't go away. He learned the whole time from Moshe Rabbeinu. Havadi Yeshua is a bigger tzaddik, a bigger Talmud Chochem. Sakan the Tosefta says now that Malamed the teacher, Sheshneim Shkulim, they're both equal. So he wants to explain that they're both equal means in this way of doing the Avodas Hashem. Should you go right away and argue against the Rishonim? Or should you at the beginning just be quiet and later on when you have the whole arm together then argue with him? These are two ways that you go through Avodas Hashem, and they're both right, and both ways are shkulim. That's what the Tosefta says. If they're really a tzaddik, which one could be Yeshua is a much bigger tzaddik. But in these two different ways of doing the Avodas Hashem, they're both shkulim, both are equal. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to give a special bracha to Yeshua, because he knew he was like a fighter, he would argue back with the Meraglim the whole time, and not to be hurt from them. He had to have a special bracha. Mashenkin Kolev did not need this bracha. Because later on, what Kolev saw was very hard. Like you said, to be nice with the Meraglim, he was afraid maybe he would give in to himself. That's when he himself went to Davin by the Kivri Yovis to get help from the Yovis. Then Pasuk Chafei says that by Yeshuvu mitur horetz miketz aboyim yoyim, that the Meraglim, the spies, came back after 40 days of spying through the land. And Rashi brings down the Valoy Arba Meyas Parsa, Arba Meyas Parsa, he. It's 400 parsas by 400. A normal person can only walk 10 parsas a day. So it should take them really 40 days to walk from east to west. Vehem Orchav Rachman, they walked backwards and forwards.